me to be able to learn about the scriptures and the great evidences of why I believe. God has been good. I struggled with these questions when I was a young person. And over the years, the evidences have piled up as I've read the scriptures and see that evidence. And this morning, I'm going to bring to you another in a series that I presented. The first ones I presented dealt with more my personal attitudes toward belief. I wanted to know if there was a God. I wanted to see the evidence, and I was open. The second one that I spoke last time I presented the last message, I dealt with the book of Daniel and how the scriptures showed that as Daniel presented these things, there were things that could not have been explained in any other way than the fact that God spoke to Daniel. And he presented the evidences of the nations, the prophecies about them, and detailed things about the coming of the future. And of course, the opposition in all these cases is to try to present some kind of a rationalization. And in that case, they tried to say, well, the book of Daniel was later, after the events. Of course, I showed two things in that. One was that it wasn't afterwards, because the book of Daniel is named in books, or Daniel was named in some books long before the time they claimed that was during the Greek period. And secondly, because Daniel included some things that were far beyond even the coming of Christ. So there were many good, valid bases for believing that God has spoken. This morning we're going to talk about the subject of Lord, I believe, with regard to the question of we have the wrong one here. This is, do you have Daniel there? On yours back there? Okay, thank you. It's supposed to be the, this is on Tyre. This is the third in our series. The city of Tyre, prophecies concerning it are so clear and so specific that they could not be explained by any other rationale. And so I want to present to you the evidences as given by this prophecy. I believe because of the amazing predictions concerning Tyre, the city that was cast into the sea. Throughout history, God has dealt with many cities. A number of these had their destiny foretold. Babylon was to end up totally uninhabited, where even the Arabian would not pitch his tents. That's the way it actually is today. Egypt was to become a base kingdom. Ezekiel 14:15 says, and which it is today. It's not a top-notch kingdom at all, it's a base kingdom. Rome, the fourth great empire of Daniel, was to continue until the coming of Christ. And Rome still exists. Petra, or Seir, as is spoken of, the city of the Edomites, was to become perpetually desolate. Today you can go down, and most people who go to Palestine try to get that trip down into Petra, and down there you can see the city carved in the rock. Fabulous. One of the great wonders of history. It used to be a great city, but a time came when they trade routes were changed and the city became totally desolate. Nobody lives there. Jerusalem was to be destroyed. Its inhabitants were to be scattered into all nations and trodden down by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, according to Luke 21:22-24. just as predicted. It continued under Gentile occupation until 1967, in my very lifetime. I have seen one of the great prophecies of the Bible fulfilled. It was not written after the event. It was written long before the event, 2,000 years before the event. So we see these things actually happen in the Scriptures. It's a powerful confirmation of the hand of God that these predictions were made centuries before the events were completely fulfilled, each in its distinctive way. One of the most extraordinary of these is Tyre, the city that was cast into the sea. Tyre was actually two cities, a large mainland city on the shore of the Mediterranean, about 20 miles south of its sister city, Sidon, and a smaller island fortress about half a mile from the mainland. We had a couple of islands, and they filled in the section between the two of them and built a kind of a citadel there for the backup for when they were attacked on the mainland. The main city is about 14 miles long on the mainland. The island was about a half mile wide, 3/4 of a mile long. Because of the necessity of fresh water, area for agricultural and raising animals, fuel, and the space for growth, the mainland city was the larger. The island fortress was primarily for refuge. The main shipping port was on the mainland. During the time of Solomon, King Hiram of Tyre helped with supplies to build the temple. 1 Chronicles 22:4. However, over the years, an alienation developed between the two peoples. This city was a very old city, actually, and it had founded some other cities around the Mediterranean. It was one of the great shipping ports of history, and actually, perhaps the alphabet was actually developed here. About 870 B.C., Joel writes of it, "Forasmuch as ye have taken my silver and my gold, and have carried unto the temple, your temples, my goodly and precious things, and have sold the children of Judah and the children of Jerusalem into the sons of Grecians, that ye may remove them far from their borders. Behold, I will stir them up out of the place whither ye have sold them, and I will return your recompense upon your own head." So God had an issue with these people. They had taken captives and made slaves of the Israelites, some of them. About 784 B.C., Amos warned. Amos 1:9, "Thus saith Jehovah, for three transgressions of Tyre, yea, for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they delivered up the whole people of Edom, and remembered not the brotherly covenant. But I will send a fire on the wall of Tyre, and it shall devour the palaces thereof." Let's look at the prophecy concerning Tyre in chapter 26 of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 26:1, it says, "It came to pass that in the 11th year, in the first day of the month, that the word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, Son of man, because the Tyre hath said unto against Jerusalem, Aha, she is broken, and that was the gate of the peoples. She is turned unto me. I shall be replenished, now that she is laid waste. Therefore, thus saith the Lord Jehovah, Behold, I am against thee, O Tyre, and I will cause many nations to come up against thee, as the sea causes his waves to come up." I want you to notice that statement there. Some people have those who have opposed this prophecy, tried to undermine it, have argued that this was all dealing with Nebuchadnezzar. The prophecy here was specifically about Nebuchadnezzar. He's mentioned in it. But I want you to notice that it wasn't limited to Nebuchadnezzar. It says, "I will cause many nations to come up against thee. As the sea causes its waves to come up." How does the sea cause the waves to come up? They come up one after another, don't they? And that's what he says is going to happen to Tyre. It wasn't going to be completed in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, as some have tried to claim and say, therefore it wasn't fulfilled. "And they shall destroy the walls of Tyre, break down her towers, and I will also scrape her dust from her and make her like the top of a rock." Now notice that. No other nation in history has been prophesied of having that done. In fact, I don't know many that ever did it, had it happen. It's going to be scraped, the dust from her, and make her like the top of a rock. Desolate, nothing there. How is that going to be fulfilled? We'll see. It shall be a place for the spreading of nets in the midst of the sea. For I have spoken it, saith God, and it shall become a spoil of the nations. It is going to become a place for the spreading of nets. Fishermen would bring their ships up on the shore and spread their nets out there. I have pictures of that actually taking place. And her daughters, which are in the field, shall be slain by the sword, and they shall know that I am the Lord God. Her daughters in the field, probably this has reference to the cities that were close around the towns, the outlying towns. There are four parts to this prophecy. Notice these things. These nations would destroy her walls and break down her towers. Nebuchadnezzar did this to the city on the mainland. Two, the dust would be scraped from her, and she would be made like the top of a rock upon which fishermen would spread their nets in the midst of the sea. This literally took place when Alexander the Great destroyed the mainland city and dumped it into the sea to build a causeway, kind of a land bridge, out to the island to conquer it in 332 B.C. Took the city and dumped it into the sea and built a causeway with it. Now, how would you have predicted that? Except by revelation. No other city's ever been prophesied that, no other city ever had it happen. It was to become a spoil to the nations. Various nations forced it to pay tribute. This indicates the city was not to be totally annihilated because it was going to be paying tribute to these nations. This was following that. Her daughters, which are in the field, probably referring to the nearby towns, would be slain by the sword, and that took place. Ezekiel 26:7. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will bring upon Tyrus Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, a king of kings from the north, with horses and with chariots and with horsemen and companies and much people. He shall slay with the sword thy daughters in the field, and he shall make a fort against thee, and cast them out against thee, and lift up the buckler against thee. And he shall set engines of war against thy walls, and with his axes he shall break down thy towers. Nebuchadnezzar did that. He attacked, knocked down the towers, the walls of the city on the mainland, and took it. But he had difficulty being able to get to the island where the people retreated to. And so he wasn't able to take that. He continued to harass it and try to destroy it for 13 years. It's a little unclear as to what finally happened, whether he actually took it, or whether there's some historical records that says he did, or whether they ultimately kind of made a pact and it was allowed to continue, but under his authority. At any rate, we know that he took the mainland city, but he didn't dump it into the sea. By reason of the abundance of horses, their dust shall cover thee. Thy walls shall shake at the noise of the horsemen and of the wheels and the chariots when he shall enter the city into thy gates, as men enter into a city wherein is made a breach. That's obviously talking about the mainland city. He certainly wasn't doing that to the island city. You don't ride around in the water with horses and chariots and kick up dust. With the hooves of the horses shall he tread down all thy streets. He shall slay thy people by the sword, and thy strong garrison shall go down to the ground. Exactly what happened. And they shall make a spoil of thy riches. Now there's a change. He is going to do some things, and they, these nations who are going to come up one after another, they shall make a spoil of thy riches and make a prey of thy merchandise, and they shall break down thy walls and destroy thy pleasant houses, and they shall lay thy stones and thy timber and thy dust in the midst of the water. Now, this didn't happen at the time of Nebuchadnezzar. This was farther off, clear down to Alexander, 300 before 300 A.D., or 300, yeah, before 300 A.D. And I will cause the noise of thy songs to cease, and the sound of thy harp shall be no more heard. And I will make thee like the top of a rock, and thou shalt be a place to spread necks upon. So he repeats this. And thou shalt be built no more, for I, the Lord, have spoken it, saith the Lord God. Nebuchadnezzar began the destruction of Tyre, but was not completely fulfilled until 250 years later. When Alexander the Great approached, as usual, they withdrew into the island citadel. Alexander ordered his men to scoop up the rubble of the old city and dumped it into the sea to build a causeway a half mile out to the island, where he used his siege engines to break down the walls and conquer it. Powerful. Powerful prophecy. If it didn't come to pass, the Bible would have been wrong. It did come to pass. And now those who deny the Bible have a problem to try to explain this away. How did he know this is what was going to happen? Described it in detail. And the years that followed, the sea filled in the area alongside the causeway, and it became a peninsula, as it remains today. A place where fishermen spread their nets. The one could still dig in the sand and find remnants of the old mainland city, which was cast into the sea and never rebuilt. Though at the tip of the peninsula stands the town of Soar. It is a town not at the place where they originally where the original city stood. It was destroyed, cast into the sea, and therefore was not rebuilt. Normally they'd take the, when, after the, excuse me, after the enemy's lap, or later, sometime later, they would take the original rubble and the stones and so on, and they'd rebuild with them. They weren't going to do this. It was never going to be found again. They put into the waters to build a causeway. Wonderful, marvelous, incredibly shrewd guess, to say the least. Even Sidon, Tyre's sister city on the coast, a few miles north, did not receive such a prophecy, and that did not happen to them. Nor any other city ever so prophesied or recorded as being cast into the sea. By any fair consideration, this was indeed remarkable, beyond any reasonable expectation. Yes, indeed. I believe. This morning, as we stand, sing our song of invitation. Do you believe? Do you have solid reasons for your faith? Do you have reason to say, I know that God has spoken? I do. And I'm hoping to share those with you in such a way that you can say, let's be standing, let's sing. I believe my Savior died on Calvary's tree.
I believe
my Savior died on Calvary's tree for you and me. I believe that somewhere in the darkest night, I hid my queen. I believe for everyone who calls astray, my Lord will come to show the way. Yes, I believe. Yes, I believe. Even the smallest prayer will still be heard. I believe the Master in the grave somewhere hears every word. Every time a newborn sees and has to leave or speak to God.
say, my love is home. It's home.
Thank you.